it's almost difficult, Will, to admit that, like, yeah, like, I'm a little concerned about the way that this looked, especially with the way that the first game went. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's acknowledging, like, yeah, it did. It looked really good. And I think the biggest thing, like, if you really wanted to, like, discount the preseason, or, you know, the preseason in its totality, I think you could, but the one thing you'd have to acknowledge is the offense clearly can be hot and cold. Starters, rotational play, whatever. Like, the offense can clearly be hot and cold, which is something we saw last year.
Yep.
And I think that's, if I were to dumb everything down into a single concern, Will, it's what we've seen over these five games are some trends that we actually saw last year. So I'm not super comfortable going into the season either. Of course, that can all change on Thursday with a win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm going to stop short of saying a solid performance against the Minnesota Timberwolves, because no. Y'all think this is a 50-win team. Y'all think this is potentially a top-four team. You think DeMar DeRozan has changed the futures of this team. Great. Then a good showing against Minnesota is not going to be good enough on your home floor to start the season. Get out there and get a dub and erase what this preseason has looked like.
And they definitely can't come out flat. Like, that would be building on the preseason vibes to come out. And if you just get, like, run over in the first quarter, would be a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
And I think deflate a lot of people around the area. So you got to come out ready to go, which will be, again, like you said, that was a big point last year. So something that I think a lot of us will definitely be watching. Looking at DeRozan's numbers, do you think that he just wasn't super aggressive in the preseason? He shot 14... His field goal attempts, 6, 14, 10, 15, 8. I think that when he was brought in, it was kind of a, he will help the Kings when they get stagnant on offense.
Yeah.
When games like last night, and especially against, like, Portland, it felt like a game where someone needs to get going, and I expected it to be him, and it didn't really feel like he did. Maybe that's a scheme. I don't know what their plans are for games, but I think I expected him to take over a little bit more than he did in any of the games.
I'm with you. I was really, I was disappointed yesterday, because I thought if even for a half with De'Aaron gone, with Malik, this is your game, DeMar and Domas. And it looked like, and I said this to start, well, it looked like a game no one wanted to play except for Domantas Sabonis and Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott was going to get his shots.
He's not
up.
Shy.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. Like, he looked like he gave a crap. Domas looked like he gave a crap. DeMar, DeMar, 36 years old, Hall of Famer, he looked like he wanted to get through the game. And I don't fault guys for that, and that's my own, like, misinterpretation of what was happening, because when I got the alert, when we all got the alert that Malik and De'Aaron were out, it was like, all right, DeMar and Domas, go get this. Maybe shut them down at halftime, let the rest of the guys do their thing, but let DeMar be the king, so to speak, for that first half. And it just didn't happen. But I don't have a direct answer to your question, man. I have no idea. I don't know if it was the flow of the game. Again, he looked like the greatest player that ever wore a Kings uniform that night against the Warriors. And then it just, you know, you felt like, okay, he's settling in a little bit in the second one. And I do wonder if once the Warriors games were done, they were done. And, you know, obviously you had that horrible game against Portland in the middle of the Sunday afternoon and, like, Utah, and now you're traveling, now it's a road trip, and it's just like, man, let's just get this over with. We're already watching film on Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle and this group that many people think are going to compete for the Western Conference Championship.
Yeah, and I also wonder if maybe it's going to take DeRozan and Sabonis a little more time to get their two-man game going than we originally thought. in the aspect of when DeRozan is handling the ball in pick and roll situations, because a huge key for him and Vucevic last year in Chicago was the little like drop off pass for the pick and pop.
Mm-hmm.
Vuc would shoot it. Like, he got a ton of looks off of the pick and roll from DeRozan. And we know Sabonis, he's been shooting the mid-range more in the preseason and more threes, but it's just not something that he's going to automatically go to. So last night it looked like the Clippers were really doubling DeRozan hard and kind of switching two onto him and leaving Sabonis. And it maybe some of that chemistry just isn't quite there yet, which is understandable. It's five games. So hopefully that's something that will grow with time as well. We've seen the dribble handoff game work, but what's the pick and roll going to look like in the long term?
Yeah, it's a great rhetorical question because I don't have an answer to it.
Yeah. Time will tell.
I mentioned how all of the parallels to last year, if I lump this all together, was my biggest concern of the preseason. Mm-hmm. Do you have one in particular where you're just like, this will get better. This will get better. But man, this is tough.
Yeah, I do. It's their interior defense has been like abysmal so far in the preseason, which is not ideal. So they're doing a really good job of limiting looks inside. Opponents are only shooting 15.2 field goal attempts in the restricted area. That's the fewest allowed in the preseason, but they're hitting at a 72.4% clip, which is 5th highest, with two of the teams ahead of them being the New Zealand Breakers and the, Radio Farm Ulm. Apologies for probably saying that wrong, but two non-NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't showing it's a glaring weakness. The attempts are good and limiting those looks. I think part of that is their penchant for going for deflections and steals. And that's where we're going to see them make the biggest defensive strides this year. But you have to be able to add a little bit of resistance inside in terms of affecting those shots.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really didn't pop up in the preseason.
Keon start Pause. Next to very nice. Very nice. Well done.
Think he has to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to imagine Herder going in cold without any game action in the starting lineup.
Do you believe in my theory that Mike actually hates Kevin Herder?
Yes. There's so many. That's a quick yes. There's so many little things the way he talks about it, it's just like, oh, man.
When they tell me he's ready to play, he'll play. Mike, they told us 3 days ago, dog.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right, man. I don't know why I thought he was going to play last night. I just felt, when they said, no, Doug McDermott's available to play. Oh, Kevin's got to be playing. No. Mm-hmm. No, we're good. We don't need Kevin. We got Dougie McBuckets tonight. Not enough threes to go around.
It did feel good. Him and Keegan, Dougie McBuckets and Keegan on the floor together, I really like. Those are two lethal shooters out there, and they just look, you can see the size when it's like, oh, we have two wings playing now.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, it feels so foreign to us, but I like the combo of Keegan and McDermott,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really interested in the lineup of those two and Kevin Herter. And throw in probably Sabonis and whatever point guard, but the three high volume, high efficiency shooters on the court is something that really intrigues me with the idea of those three players.
What'd you think of Keegan this preseason?
I thought he looked good. Nice and aggressive, which I think is the kind of the step that we're hoping he takes. He didn't shoot well from three, but no one did. He got to the line really well in one of the games, getting, I think, 8 free throw attempts. He averaged 2 per game, rebounds, 3.6, just looking at his general stats. But it felt like he was out there making an impact, which is good because so many people were saying with DeRozan that he would kind of be the one to take a step back. And I think his continued growth with this team will continue to be so important. I have to think about everything I say on this show now.
No, I know. It's terrible. It like you've lost the ability to just have a natural conversation because of... I'm not going to blame it all on the chat. I mean, you know, but yeah, I understand, Will. I understand. Man, great stuff as always, Will. Well, we'll be talking next week, my friend.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, regular basketball is back. Sean Cunningham just tweeting, hearing from sources, DeMar DeRozan is not with the Kings at practice in Sacramento due to personal reasons. His absence is not expected to be long-term. Again, that's from Sean Cunningham. Kings practice is actually going on right now. Sean tweets, hearing from sources, DeMar DeRozan is not with the Kings at practice in Sacramento due to personal reasons. His absence is not expected to be long-term. Again, that's from Sean Cunningham. The Kings are practicing now. If we have any sound from that, we will certainly bring it to you. Well, great stuff as always, my friend. We're excited for the season to get here, and we'll talk more next week.
Thanks, Damian. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You bet. That's my man, Will Z, right there. Super proud of everything Will got going on over there at SI. Well, I guess that's a little bit of news right there. DeMar's not at practice. I also imagine this is probably a relatively chill practice, given the fact that the Kings just played in Los Angeles. That's DeMar's home. He may have just stayed an extra night or two, knowing Kings probably have maybe tomorrow off. Oh, you know they have. Well, I'm going to guess they have tomorrow off. I think there's appearances at the Galleria tomorrow, and then the Fan Fest is on Sunday. So those aren't really days off. So DeMar might have been able to steal an extra couple days at home before returning to the Kings for Fan Fest and all of the festivities to help officially launch the week. And then, of course, Monday they'll get into practice for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I don't know. I hope Mike is confident with what he sees when the cameras aren't around. Some more updates from Sean Cunningham. Boogie Ellis did not make the cut for the Sacramento Kings. Boogie Ellis, Terry Taylor, and Broderick Thomas have all been waived by the Sacramento Kings. I hope there's a spot for Boogie Ellis. Boogie Ellis is an NBA player. Boogie Ellis is absolutely an NBA player. I hope there's a spot for him somewhere, you know, at worst the G League program, but I hope there is a spot for Boogie somewhere in this league, man. I liked what I saw from him on a couple of different occasions. Obviously, things are happening around the NBA. More importantly, things are happening around the Sacramento Kings. Boogie Ellis, Terry Taylor, Broderick Thomas, all waived by the Sacramento Kings today. We'll talk more about that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to Sky River Casino, man. We have our next two live broadcasts booked. I'm going to hold off a little bit before we give you the details. I think we'll be able to give you the details next week. But I'll tell you this. We got a live broadcast coming up in November that a lot of you are going to be able to attend. We've got a live broadcast coming up in December, which will be the biggest broadcast in the history of live broadcast. And that's a fact. Kyle Madsen's looking over. It's the truth. It'll be the biggest broadcast in the history of live broadcast. And both center around Kings games. So we got you. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm really, really excited for the one in December. The one in November is coming together, and it's coming together like really well. I think there's a, we've got some really great stuff coming up ahead at Sky River Casino. Almost as great as that Guardians-Yankees game that we saw yesterday. What an epic game that was, man. And it was absolutely brutal because we're on KSFM. And for those who have never really watched this show, like if you can get a makeup of the room, like I'm normally behind this board. The TV is off to my right and KC is in front of me. So when KSFM is on, I'm navigating a lot of different things. When we're hosting our show at KSFM, I'm navigating some different things. I'm making sure the timing is right. I'm making sure the songs that we're talking on are there. I'm making sure everything is set for when we got to do talk, making sure we got you know, our computer stuff up for winners. The phone lines are hot, all of that different stuff. KC has the ability to look at me and see the TV. And we're in the middle of talking about giving away Kehlani tickets when he kind of visibly reacts, and I have to, like, no sell it, because this isn't ESPN where we just talk through everything. It's just like we're trying to make a point. So I got to keep talking through it. And the second we get through it, I look over at him and he looks up, and Aaron Judge has just jacked the 2-run homer to tie the game. And of course, now we're staring at the TV and boom, the second one goes out, and it's like, oh, they're Yankees are winning this game. And obviously they don't. And Kyle this morning showed me a video that I'm sure is all over social media. Now I got to see if I can pull it up on Twitter so you could see it in the stream. But I think it was shot from like an apartment complex or something. And you could see the reaction of the park. More importantly, you could hear the reaction from the park. It was bananas. It's one of the dopest videos I've ever seen. Kyle just sent it to me, but unfortunately I can't add. I got it. Give me a second to navigate this, because if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. Hang on.
You want to know if email would help?
No. Having it on your Twitter account would help, because that's where I find everything. I just navigate your Twitter account, Kyle. I don't know if you know that or not, but I do. So if there's any weird views on your Twitter account, that's what it is. All right, I think we may...
You said he just retweeted it?
He just retweeted it. My man, Kyle Mattson. Okay, I'm going to pull this video up for you. But what an incredible game, man. And then you have the Dodgers, who are just beating the absolute crap out of the Mets. I had the scoring differential. I think it was like 30-9. And 7 of those runs the Mets scored were in one game. This is just one of the dopest videos I've ever seen. Like, I absolutely love this. And I'll let the audio play as well. You could see this is a ways away from the park. And this is when that home run was hit. This is very visual. I apologize. It's the crack of the bat. Oh, that is just so dope. That is so dope. That's got to be a Kenny Caraway penthouse to have a view like that. Shout out to the iPhone Zoom. That's spectacular. That's so dope. Thank you for that, Kyle Mattson. That is so dope right there. Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that, man. What a great game. What a great game that was. Absolutely epic. I do kind of want Dodgers, Yankees. Like, I know, like, that'll be, like, the haters' ball. And I get it. And it's fine. Perfectly okay. Give me that, though. As a straight-up casual, a 100% Major League Baseball casual, give me that series, please. I don't think I'd miss a second of that series. Give me that. Give me Aaron Judge. Give me Shohei Ohtani. And you'll have... Buster D'Lo over here locked on baseball for an entire World Series. Not that I won't be interested in the World Series if it's any of the... I mean, I feel pretty confident the Dodgers are going to close this thing out. But if it's Dodgers, Guardians, like, I'd still watch. But come on, man. Dodgers, Yankees. Fair to say the two biggest stars in the game, and Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Yes. This is peak casual behavior on my part. Give me all of that. But still, what a absolutely fantastic video from Cleveland yesterday. I know Jesse died a little inside when Cleveland was celebrating.
No, actually, I'm all Guardians here. I hate
oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Oh, that's so. Right, of course. Yeah.
Let's go Guardians. I won't go as far to say Cleveland, but
Okay. It has its limits. I got you. Hey, speaking of run differentials or scoring differentials, I think we have 30-9 in the first four games of this Dodgers-Mets series. Remember, now this is tough. Think back. You're going to have to use your memories for this one. You remember the first 2 weeks of the NFL season when the Saints of New Orleans scored 91 points? They had this dynamic offense everyone was talking about. They were 2-0. We were talking about that division like, man, there might be some dogs in this division. Oh, Atlanta ain't even done nothing yet, and they might be good. This NFC South could be special. Well, that was the first 2 weeks of the season. Since then, I believe we're at 5 straight losses now for the New Orleans Saints. They've scored a combined 86 points in those 5 losses. Again, for those that missed it, 91 points in the first 2 weeks. 86 in the next 5, and they got their ass whooped by the Denver Broncos yesterday. Now, to be fair, the Saints are a bit of a story, I guess, because they were 2-0. They did have that dynamic offense. They were getting a lot of attention. You can have a conversation there, especially in context of the division. Like, can they bounce back with the Bucs playing the way that they are? Can they bounce back with the Falcons looking to play the way that they are? I think the answer is emphatically no. Like that, no, just no. But what's the story with the Denver Broncos? As much as I think I just died a little asking that question, I think it's a fair question to ask. Is that team for real? Bo Nix still doesn't look like Bo Nix looks like a rookie quarterback. Let's call it what it is. Like, he still looks like a young rookie quarterback. And as much as I don't really like Sean Payton, he appears to be, like, that team rushed for, what was it, 250-something yards yesterday? I'm sorry, 200. I gave them too much. They rushed for 225 yards yesterday. They built a team. I mean, a lot of that was Bo Nix, too. Credit to him. But they've built a team to where they don't have to. And this is one of the important things of having a rookie quarterback. You don't want to put everything on that rookie quarterback's shoulders. The Texans didn't have to do it. The Texans had a very competent roster when C.J. Stroud got in there. And having D'Amico Ryans in there, having that defense, like, they got pieces there that worked. You looked at Chicago. A lot of people were high on Chicago. Their roster. When Caleb Williams got there, a lot of people expected Caleb Williams to sort of follow in the footsteps of C.J. Stroud. I don't know that people thought Jaden Daniels would get as hot as he did, but I know that people bought into the football team. And I think with all of those teams, it was like, well, C.J. was phenomenal last year. Those guys don't quite have to do what C.J. did. They could be good, but the rest of the team can be great. And while I do not think the Denver Broncos are a great team, they're far from an incompetent one.
Bo Nix, his first 2 games, threw 4 interceptions, 2 in each game. They went 0-2. Since then, he's only thrown 1. And I think they had 4-1 since.
And you know what? Again, I will die a little. I got to give Sean Payton credit for that. Like, maybe... maybe Sean Payton is best suited to work with a younger quarterback like Bo Nix, a player that you can work with and mold into your style of offense. And Sean Payton, I think, does have like a style of offense that he likes to run. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of his, and I'm not the biggest fan of his behavior when he got to Denver. Again, he wasn't wrong. Nathaniel Hackett stinks. But still, head coach in the league, man, you don't do that. But this team's playing well. And I'm gonna stop short of saying, "Woo, watch out for Denver," and just say, defense is good. Got Bo Nix kind of keeping it clean, not making a lot of mistakes. You could be in really good shape right there. You could be in really good shape. Broncos just absolutely beat that. I got to that game late. Oh, actually, be straight up with you, between baseball and King, I forgot the game was on. I got home. I was getting settled, getting ready to put on. I was going to put on, I think it was Lakers Suns last night, and realized, yo, there's a football game on. Go to Amazon, and like Drew Brees is in the booth. And I'm like, I'm good. And it was already a blowout at that point. The Broncos were already beating the hell out of the Saints. It's like, I'm good. I'll stick around for a little bit. I'll catch the condensed version of this game. And I think that's the simplest way to describe it. Bo Nix looks solid. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Old E, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's good?
What up, boy?
Man, I tell you what, you hit on everything about that Broncos team right now that I was just thinking myself. Sean Payton, really? Anyways, I'm sorry. The reason why I called in was to talk about that game last night with the Indians and Kenny's Yankees. Oh, my goodness.
No, the Yankees. No, that was.
Major
that
League,
was
the movie?
Yeah, that was that's the Guardians, and it was one of the best games I've ever seen. Like, that was legit. Well, it was certainly, I can't say I was locked into all nine innings, Oldie, because, you know, we've got work to do. But in terms of a dramatic conclusion, I think Aaron Judge's home run was in the eighth and on. Yeah, come on, man. It ain't going to get much better than that. It ain't going to get much better than that. And that's why I say, Oldie, give me the casuals dream here. Give me the Yankees. Give me the Dodgers. Give me that in a World Series. And I'm gonna be baseball expert here. I'm gonna be locked in. 916-909-1320. If you want to get into these phone lines, obviously Casey not here today, so if you want to be a part of the show, you most definitely can. Jake Gayden says the Kings have signed Shareef O'Neal. Huh. Okay. And yes, that's exactly who you're thinking it is. The Kings have signed the son of Shaquille O'Neal, Shareef O'Neal. O'Neal is at practice today. He'll be waived tomorrow, and then he'll sign with the Stockton Kings. All right. All right, Shareef O'Neal headed to the Stockton Kings. 916-909-1320. Say we got Titus there. Titus, what's happening, baby?
Hey, what's up? I got a couple things real quick. Hey, but on that Shareef O'Neal, I hope if we keep him or whatever, I hope he get booed soon as he get there. Remember, his daddy called us the Queens. We ain't gonna forget that. You feel me?
So we're not ready to bury that hatchet yet?
No, okay. Because when he got the 1% ownership, he didn't do nothing for us.
I don't even know if he had a full 1%, Titus. But I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
All right, but look, we get McDermott, right? That I think that's probably just to help with the 3-point shooting, because we're not tripping on Herter. We might end up getting rid of him. We might end up dumping him off.
Yeah, Titus, it's hard. A lot of people asked that yesterday. I think you're I don't know what Doug McDermott's role is going to be here with this squad, right? Like, I think he's going to play sparingly. I don't think we're coming in talking about a Doug McDermott game. I mean, maybe we are. Like, he's a dude who shoots the threes. Like, he could get hot, he could come in, he could cook, and then the next day we're talking about, like, yo, Doug McDermott had, you know, 13 points in 7 minutes or whatever. Like, I could see that. I know a lot of people were curious if okay, I'm gonna rephrase this. I know a lot of people were curious that if Doug McDermott's entrance meant something about Kevin Herter's exit. I don't think that it does. I mean, there's a solid, what, 6 year difference between the two players. Like, Doug, I think Doug McDermott is a fine player to have on your roster. Like, I don't envision a scenario where, like, he works to me. Like, I can't, me personally, I don't envision a scenario where he's not with the team the rest of the year. I know it's the 750 vet minimum and then becomes guaranteed like sometime in January. All right. Like, all right. Like, I expect, like, I think he's going to be, I think he works. Like, how many times last year did it feel like Mike was searching for something? How many times did it feel last year that the Kings couldn't get anything going and it felt like Mike was just searching for a spark? Doug McDermott's a shooter. Like, you don't, Mike's not going to have to yell at Doug McDermott to shoot. Shot's there. He going to take it. But I don't think it has anything to do with a potential exit for Kevin Huerter.
One more thing from Titus's call. Can you imagine Shareef O'Neal checking in and just confused, just no reason, he's getting booed?
Yeah, that's crazy. Don't boo Shareef, man. Shareef ain't do nothing. Don't boo Shareef. Now Shaq's stint as the Kings owner, yeah, like, I have my own feelings about that, but Shareef ain't do nothing to nobody.
I mean, Shaq had Domantas Sabonis as the 42nd ranked player in the NBA on his top 50 list.
Oh, did he really?
Behind Tyler Hero, I believe.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Come on, man. You could boo Shaq all you want to. By the way, did you see... did you see the video the Kings posted where they're asking players and coaches to pronounce caramel?
Yeah. Like,
caramel versus caramel?
Yeah.
Did anything in that video stand out to you? Like, anything at all? I don't mean to put you on the spot. And I'm asking the chatty house, too. I'm asking anybody listening.
I mean, Leandro Barbosa felt like he was pretty serious about it.
Barbosa was fantastic. Leandro Barbosa was absolutely the star of that video.
I don't know. That's the only thing I kind of noticed, I guess.
Go watch it again. And keep an eye on Devin Carter. Because I'm going to tell you something. Did you see it? Okay, so...
No, but I think I know what you're going to hint, like what you're hinting at.
Like, this... Now, maybe I'm biased because of the story we were told. I've never met Devin Carter, never had a single interaction with Devin Carter. But there's pretty much one guy who doesn't participate. And it's Devin Carter. And he just kind of storms away as if he's annoyed by the social media team. And, like, my hope is Devin Carter's a dope dude. But, man, I watched that. Like, come on, bro. Like, have some fun. Like, are they going to make him dance or sing? Or I think they have a dance off at the Fan Fest on Sunday. They going to make him dance? I don't know. Watch the video back and tell me. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe I'm the jerk.
I'm gonna defend Devin. I think he says it as he's walking away.
Does he?
Yeah, because the player he's with says it or whatever. You can hear it like faintly, like as he's walking away. I think he says it. He doesn't stop. But I think he says it.
Now you cutting him some slack, but okay.
I'm defending. Defending him.
That's what I said. I was posing it as a question.
That's the question. That's all it was. We looked back at the film, and yeah, he had an answer.
Okay, that's all we're doing is we're broadcast journalists here. That's all we do. We got TC there, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. TC, what's good, baby?
Yes, sir. D-Lo, what's up with my brother, man? Actually, what's up with my two brothers, man? I know Kenny ain't in, Jesse in the back. What's up, baby?
What's going on, man? What's up,
TC? Oh, just vibing. Hey, listen, D-Lo, hey, I told you I was going to kick back on the Niners, bro. I'm just going to let this season shake out how it's going to shake out, and we're going to talk about it. You get me?
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, they 500, barely got to 500, but we ain't talking about them. We talking about the Kings, right? The band is going to be okay. I was watching the game last night, and I said, you know what? I said, they going to be okay, bro. They got to get jamming. The team got to get, like, once they get, like, about 10 games under their belt, like you and Kenny always talking about, D-Lo, Jesse, like, the team is going to be all right. This ain't time to be panicking. But what I am kind of low-key panicking on, I'm going to be honest with you, and we talked about this before, D'Lo, and you just spoke on it. Devin Carter, bro, I'm not liking that dude's attitude. If he's coming in like that, bro, we got a bigger problem on our hands. That's all I got.
All right, TC, that's my bad. That's okay. That's me. I should have asked.
Look what you did.
I should have asked you to look at the film privately without doing it on the air. Look, TC, I think that reaction is a little extra. I don't think we have to feel any particular way about Devin Carter. I don't think he did anything.
We were just curious.
I was just curious. Like, everybody seemed to have fun with it. DC had a lot of fun with it. Obviously, Barbosa was scientifically breaking down the pronunciation of the word, telling us how it was pronounced in other countries, which I love. But I thought Devin Carter looked. I asked the question. Jesse reviewed the film. I don't think there's any reason to be out on Devin Carter. Certainly not. I love you, TC. Certainly not because of that.
You know what? Shout out Devin Carter.
Shout out Devin Carter. Big black Supreme Air Force energy guy. Our man. The other DC. Devin Carter.
Are you worried about how they start the season?
Yeah, absolutely. They started poorly last year. They started poorly the year before. And I don't know what I've seen. I don't know for what reason that I would feel good about how they're going to start this year. I mean, we looked at the schedule. We went through it. I know you think very highly of how they'll perform in the start of the season. And I 100% hope you're right. But, yeah, like, I have concerns. They couldn't hit shots. Like, again, if you...
So who are we actually, like, just get into the details of it. Are we worried about, like, Keegan hitting shots?
Well, I'm worried about the Sacramento Kings hitting shots. Because if you question the physicality of the defense in the preseason, fine. I disagree a little bit, but fine. Like, I hear you, and I think it's a valid point. A shot is a shot, and they couldn't hit them. Like, they shot, I think they shot 30% something, like, from the field yesterday. That's not even from three. They shot 34%, 26%, and 79%.
I just think when it's game one, it's like, it's a little bit more organized and all that. It's like, guys who are supposed to be playing are playing. Like, it's Fox. Like, I think Fox and those guys are going to flip a switch. So that's why I guess I'm kind of not too worried about them.
No, you're probably right. Like, you're probably right. I think my biggest concern is the shot dropping. How does that percentage suddenly change?
Because we can talk about, like, the three-point defense and all that. That is a last season problem too. That's a Monty McNair needed to fix that, if anything. Because I don't think signing DeMar, whoever they brought in, was like, oh yeah, now it's going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, and think about what Will said earlier. Will was talking about their interior defense. That's probably not changing, because it's not like the group's getting taller. It's not like the Kings are getting more length before Thursday gets here. And that's probably going to be one of their more difficult size matchups, is Minnesota. So, yeah, like, I'm concerned. James Hamm says Trey Lyles is on the court after Kings practice, but he's wearing a red jersey. Jersey watch is underway. I believe that means no contact. I believe that's what means Trey Lyles being out on the floor is still no contact. No word if Kevin Herter's got a red jersey or even a Kings jersey. We'll come back. James Hamm will join us following practice. Any sound that we're able to get from practice, we will certainly bring it to you as the season approaches next week. We'll talk a little bit about the 49ers and the Chiefs coming up. Also, what league pass teams are you guys hyped for? We'll talk about that. Steve LMKC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the Kia Talk line, again, 916-909-1320. My man Carlos asked about plans for the weekend. If you're out at the Galleria for that Kings thing that's going on, I'll be out there and then headed straight to Sac State for homecoming. We've got some things to do there at halftime that I'm pretty hyped about. Always great. First time at Sac State this season. So excited to get back out there and see if that squad can get going there. But definitely a busy weekend. Might be at Golden Sky on Sunday. That's the day Shaboozy's performing. We were hoping to spend a few minutes with him, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. which is okay because I'm not really sure your boy needs to be out there at Discovery Park this weekend.
Be out there in your finest cowboy boots?
Oh, man. I don't know that that's going to happen. But if I'm told to be there, I'll be there. You know me. I'm a company man. Yeah, I did see the OD. I did see the renderings for that Sac State Stadium. My goodness, man. Oh, if they're able to pull that off, that'd be amazing. We were just looking at some of the previews for this weekend's NFL schedule. There's a couple of games. Oh, that's right. Let's get to Manny first. I don't want to leave out the host of the Chatty House After Party, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Manny, what's good, my friend?
What up, man? We'll see you up there tomorrow. Me and the missus going to the game. So.
Oh, very good. Sac State?
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
So I want to kind of touch base on what you were just talking about before the break with the Kings. And you made a good point is, I know KC had made a tweet and he has said basically, well, come Thursday, they're going to turn on the switch and everything might be, it'll be okay. And that might happen, but you can turn on the switch on, you know, play harder defensively, you know, running your pick and rolls and your set plays. But when it comes to shooting, like you're, it's not like you're not trying to get the ball in the basket. I don't care how hard people are saying that they didn't try these preseason games. You're trying to get the ball in the basket. There's no way you're shooting it not to. And for them to be as off as all of them, for the most part, have been, that is a concern because I don't think that's something that you just turn on in a week. Like, that's repetitious. That's being in those situations like they are going through the picks and getting open for shots, and that's a major concern. Like, and the other part of it is, I'm sorry, those guys are all competitive. And when you're down 25, 30 points, whatever it is, you can't tell me they're just shrugging their shoulders and like, hey, they're okay with it. There's some pride involved there, regardless of whether you're Fox or whether you're coming off the bench. And I can't believe that those struggles aren't real. I know it's the preseason, and I'm not jumping off a cliff of it, but I think there should be some concern there regarding that.
There's a couple things there, Manny. I'm with you on the shooting because I just don't know. I don't think that switch has ever flipped down. Like, if you, again, I was talking about with Will and Jesse, like, if you want to question what they're doing on the defensive end, like, I get that. There's a certain physicality. There's a certain attention to detail that you have to have on the defensive end. And, you know, that might be harder to do during the preseason when you're doing it during practice. Or, as Hammer has pointed out, sometimes you're not doing it against you're not doing it against like Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're doing it against like the second and third team for the Milwaukee Bucks. And yeah, there's a psychological letdown. The one thing I might disagree with a little bit is, yeah, they're competitors. Yeah, a level of pride kicks in. I just don't know that it kicks in here. I don't know that anyone walked off of the floor yesterday going, oh man, we just got our butt kicked by the Los Angeles Clippers. Guys, we got to be better. Hey, everybody be at practice tomorrow at 7 a.m. We got work to do. I don't think anybody did that. I don't think anyone's pride was hurt. I think the tough part is, you know, as Jesse was talking about the Mason Jones and the Isaac Jones and, like, those guys aren't players. Like, those are the ones that you want to see perform the best. Those are the ones that you don't question their work ethic, their grind, what they're doing out there. Those are the ones that you want to be like, oh, man, Kings couldn't get it done, man, but whew, those guys busted their ass. I don't feel that about – I feel that about Domantas Sabonis, and I feel like Dougie McBuckus was ready to play yesterday. But that's like it. Now, I'm not going to be like overly critical of guys like Boogie Ellis. He was cut today. I'm not going to be overly critical of like Isaac Jones or Scal or whoever. But it's like I wanted something positive to stand out yesterday, and it didn't. At least not in a positive way. Nothing stood out other than Doug McDermott getting his shots up, which, admittedly, I loved. Just let my man shoot the ball. But Broderick Thomas, Terry Taylor, and Boogie Ellis have all been cut today. They've all been waived today. The Kings signed Shareef O'Neal, and he'll be waived tomorrow, and then he'll sign with the Stockton Kings. So that's more of the signing today is a formality leading him to becoming a member of the Stockton Kings. So I'm sure there's some more cuts ahead. We did get a note from James Hamm, who will be with us later on in the show, that Trey Lyles was at practice. He was on the practice floor, but he was wearing one of those red non-contact jerseys. So Trey Lyles being back in the fold doesn't appear to be a thing yet. As soon as we have an update regarding Kevin Huerter and whether he practiced today. I also wonder if today was kind of a light practice, given the fact that Trey Lyles had a red jersey on, leads me to believe they might have gotten up and down at least a little bit. And I'm going to assume tomorrow is their day off, given that they got to do Fan Fest on Sunday. And then, of course, you get into the grind of the week leading into the home opener, the season opener at the Golden 1 Center against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday. So still a lot of business ahead for the Sacramento Kings. Still a lot of office work ahead, if you will, for the Sacramento Kings. I asked Will earlier what he thought of Keegan Murray and how Keegan Murray played this preseason. And I don't think anything stood out in a positive or a negative way about Keegan Murray. I thought he was, well, there's almost like a caveat. Like, you almost throw the first game out because that seems to be the outlier where they absolutely played the best. You can incorporate the second game if you want to, because I feel like that was more of a natural game for the key rotational guys for the Sacramento Kings. The first one felt like, man, remember that was the game where the Warriors hit like a million threes. Kings hit none and had like a 2-point lead going into the half. They made up like an 11 made three difference because of how well they were shooting from the field. And I really thought in those two Warrior games, and I really think this has actually been the case through all five preseason games, I thought Keegan was really good in terms of his aggression. Keegan being a more aggressive offensive player, no one shot like a high percentage. No one can you walk away going, man, it was really cooking this preseason. Like, no one cooked. Just take out every night. Like, no one cooked. Well, Domas did. I take that back. Domas had a couple of really good games this preseason. But Keegan, I love the aggressiveness that Keegan showed on the offensive end. I hate the fact he was 1 of 8 from three last night, and I hate that, you know, he was often like 3 of 10. I hate that his shooting percentage, his 3-point shooting percentage, was so bad for the entire preseason. But I do like the fact that he got those shots up. He passed on one, which was brutal. One against Utah. He passed up that one. But for the most part, Keegan saw the shot. Keegan took the shot. And with DeMar out there now, I'm assuming Keon. And then, of course, De'Aaron and Domas, so on. Like, you've got to feel good about Keegan being aggressive on that three-pointer. You got to feel good about Keegan potentially being a creator, because now all of a sudden you have multiple creators on the floor at a time. If Keegan starts to get more aggressive about how he creates his shots or how he gets his shots, then you throw in De'Aaron, then you throw in Malik, and then, of course, DeMar DeRozan. And that's why we're going into Thursday. One big question mark. The Sacramento Kings are a big question mark. Everything that you felt a week and some change ago before game started, by the time Thursday gets here, you're going to feel the exact same way. You might not feel that way today, but the further we get away from you watching a preseason game, the better you're going to feel about this team. Because the further we get away from talking about what we saw last night, the further we get away from talking about what we've seen over the last week, the closer we get to what our idea of the Sacramento Kings are. Right now, we can work with an idea with a little bit of like actuality in it. But we can rationalize that actuality as if it's not really actual. It's not a thing. It's preseason. Nobody cares. We can manage our thoughts on this however we want to. Glass half empty, glass half full. But that's today. That's because we watched them play last night. And we were frustrated by the way that they played last night. We watched them lose five straight games in the preseason. Two of them to teams most people don't think are going to make the playoffs. We might have lost, because we were all out there together. We might have lost three games to teams that people don't think are going to make the playoffs, counting that one last night. So you're going to be in your feelings today, but it's going to be different tomorrow. Then it's going to be Fan Fest on Sunday, and it's going to be all fun, and then it's going to be Monday. Then we're going to be counting down to that first game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then we're going to be on the – and then Tuesday, games start. Wednesday, games. And then all of a sudden, we're here Thursday. We're not in Minnesota. We're at the Golden One Center. And now we're back to working with the idea of what the Sacramento Kings are going to be. And the idea is what we saw in that first half against the Golden State Warriors. The idea is where our expectations are going to be come next Thursday. Because we're going to hear that Kevin Huerter is at practice. We're going to hear that Trey Lyles is probably closer to returning. We're going to know, well, Boogie's not around, Terry Taylor's not around, Isaac Jones probably isn't around, maybe Mason Jones is. We're going to go through these list of players who we saw play in the last five games. We're going to go, yeah, they're not here. They're not around. Which means we know it's De'Aaron, it's Domas, it's Malik, it's everyone we expect. It's Keegan, it's all of that. We know that. And now we're feeling good about the idea of the Sacramento Kings all over again. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But we're probably going to enter, and I don't even know what unrealistic expectations are anymore. I don't know what an unrealistic idea is for this team anymore, because I don't even know what this team is. I was hoping to give you a feel. I don't know. I can't dismiss everything I saw. I could dismiss some of it. I can downplay some of it, but not all of it.